And then we'll begin. I want to start the talk this evening with a short film clip. If you haven't seen the film, you should, because it's really good. But I want to use it here to illustrate a point, and my son, who's hiding out in the lobby, will be most upset that he's missed it. If you want to see any more, you'll have to get the film. If you've seen it, you know what happens next in the film. But in this clip, we see someone, Beatrix, who's angry about something that's happened to them. In this case, her home's been destroyed. I think I'd be a bit miffed too if that happened. And actually, so would the church, because it's theirs. But it could be something completely different too. Perhaps it's a close friend who's betrayed us. Maybe they've shared a secret you trusted them with. Maybe somebody's really let you down just when you needed them the most. In our Bible passage, we have a king who's owed a huge amount of money, and he writes off that debt only for his servant to go and have someone else imprisoned because they can't repair a very small amount. Looking back to the video clip that we've just seen, we also see someone else, and that's Thomas, who's quite upset and indignant about the injustice of being falsely accused of something, of causing the explosion. Now, we did have a part to play in that, but again, many of us can probably relate to that sort of thing in our lives. And then we have Peter Rabbit, stood there looking all sheepish or rabbitish, possibly, about something. What he's probably feeling is a mixture between guilt at having been involved, shame at having lied about it, and fear about the consequences of fessing up to it. And I can imagine the king's servant in our Bible reading being a bit like that after he's hauled back in front of the king for the way he treated the person who owed him money. After the king had forgiven him for his own much bigger debts. In the example that Jesus uses in our passage, we see a king calling in his debts. In one case, there's someone who owes the king 10,000 talents. That's what the Bible says. Hands up, who knows how much that's worth in today's money? No takers? Lots, yes. One book, and unfortunately it's a book that's as old as I am, so the numbers are probably a little bit iffy. One book suggested that a talent is worth roughly £240. So 10,000 of them is 2.5 million, give or take a little bit, which is an awful lot of money. And the king's just demanded it to be paid in full, just like that. You owe me shed loads, give it back. So obviously this man said, no problem, Your Majesty, I've got it right here in my pocket, let me just get it for you. No, he didn't. He did what most people would do. He begged for mercy. He begged for leniency. He begged for the king to go easy on him. The king was about to sell him and his whole family into slavery to cover some of the debt. In biblical times, those who couldn't repay their debts were often treated very harshly, thrown into prison until the debt was paid, which often meant life imprisonment, forced into slavery along with their family to work it off, and so on. Today it's a little bit different, not necessarily any easier, and we've just got to look at the high street chains that have gone into administration over recent years, unable to pay their debts, or the people who've been sucked into payday loans with disgustingly high interest rates and who've lost everything as a result. So what did the king do? Well, he didn't say, okay, I'll give you another month or another year or another 5 years to pay it off. I'll tell you what, I'll suspend the interest rate so you're not accruing anymore. He said, don't worry about it. I know you can't possibly pay this back, so I'll take care of it. The king is merciful. The man was forgiven his debt and his family was safe. He should be ecstatic. Instead, he wanders up. He tracks down a colleague and says, "Oi, you owe me a fiver. Come on, give it back." And his colleague says, "No. He hasn't got it." And that's a comparison we talk about, 2.5 million versus about a fiver. But he had absolutely none of the compassion that the king had showed him. None of the compassion that God shows us. So he's just had this debt written off. His debt has been forgiven. And because he didn't show the same mercy, the same forgiveness for a much less, such an insignificant amount in comparison, the king hauled him back in and threw him into prison anyway, ordered him to be tortured until the full debt was paid. The king held him to account for his debt, after all, because he wasn't prepared to write off a much smaller debt for somebody in a similar position. There was no forgiveness. There was no forgiveness from the man towards others, even though he'd been forgiven a much greater debt. And that's what today's passage is really talking about. Forgiveness. Or, in the case of the king's servant, unforgiveness. And it began with Peter asking how many times he should forgive someone who has wronged him. Now, Peter thinks he's been quite clever here. You see, the rabbis, that's the leaders of the Jewish church, taught that people should forgive, but only 3 times. So Peter thinks that 7 times is being especially generous, going far above and beyond the call of duty. And Jesus forces him to rethink this when he says, not 7 times, but 77 times. Or, depending which version of the Bible you use, 70 times 7 times. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, why are you even keeping count? Why do we keep count? The number of times is irrelevant. The point is to be forgiving in our nature, in our attitude towards people. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be doormats. I'm not saying that at all. But it's to find a way to forgive. Why? Because God has forgiven us everything we have ever done. Just as the king wrote off that vast debt that his servant owed him, God forgives us everything. Through Christ, he's removed the barrier of sin that stops us having a relationship with him. Those of you that have been on an Alpha course will have seen the example that Nikki Gumbel uses in the videos, where our sin acts as a barrier between us and God. And Christ takes, he comes along and he takes my sin on himself and everybody else's sin. And he's not just holding one person's sin, but a whole stack. And he frees the path for each and every one of us to have that relationship with God through forgiveness of our sins. And he asks us to do the same for others, to forgive them, and sometimes to forgive ourselves, to forgive as we have been forgiven. And that's not always easy. When we're hurt by someone we've trusted, someone we've relied on, someone we've confided in, someone we thought that would always be there for us, who would never leave us, it creates cracks. It's the same when it's us that does the hurting. When it's us who betrays a friend. When it's us who lets our parents down, cracks start to appear. I remember one time in my early teens, many years ago, many, many years ago, and long before I became Christian, I took something that wasn't mine. And then I lied about it. I was afraid of what would happen. And when my parents found out, their reaction left me with those feelings of guilt, of shame, of fear, even rejection. I felt both unforgiven by my parents and unforgivable. And cracks started to appear. Tiny at first, but they were there. Now, for those of you who drive, who perhaps been driving for a while, how many of you have had a tiny crack or stone chip in your windscreen? And there's one or two hands going up. What happens if you tap on that crack? It gets bigger. And it's the same with our relationships. When cracks appear, we can do something about it. We can respond quickly and try and repair the damage. Or we can let it grow. Suddenly the tiny crack becomes something we can't ignore. It becomes something we have to leap over. And eventually, if we leave it long enough, it becomes something that we can't see anywhere to get across. And that's when relationships become broken, not just bent out of shape. And often it's us that suffers most. Unforgiveness can eat away at us if we let it. In the example I shared from my teenage years, when I spoke to my parents of 15, 20 years later about it, about what had happened, what I'd done, how they reacted and how it made me feel, they were sort of, what are you talking about? They could barely even remember it. But it had been eaten away at me for years. They couldn't remember at all. And it was my reaction and my unforgiveness of them for the way that they'd reacted, and also the unforgiveness of myself for what I'd done in the first place. Now, as we start drawing to a close, I want to show you one more video clip. The man you're about to hear is a brother of Botham Jean, a black man murdered by a white police officer in Texas. This is what the brother had to say at the sentencing hearing of the police officer involved. A very powerful image of what forgiveness looks like. Now, this was a very complex case, but the video showed Brandt's choice to forgive. He's obviously visibly devastated by what's happened, yet he chooses to forgive, to even hug his brother's killer. Even the judge, just off screen, you could catch a glimpse of her wiping tears from her own eyes, visibly moved by this act of forgiveness. I wonder how it makes you feel. Does it challenge you to find a means to forgive those who've hurt you? To forgive yourself for the things that you may have done. I don't know what happened there. God loves us. God doesn't want anything bad for us. He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants us to come to him. And in his infinite grace and mercy, God has forgiven us all our wrongdoings through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He's forgiven us through Christ. He took away our sins. As a result, we should respond in kind to those who've done us wrong, forgiving them just as God forgives us, forgiving ourselves just as God forgives us. And that's exactly what Jesus says when he teaches his disciples how to pray. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We'll have a time of response shortly, but first I just want to think of those words. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. As I draw to a close, I'm going to ask us to say together that prayer that our Saviour taught us, the Lord's Prayer. We say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Laura and the band to come up as we respond to what we've heard. And I want us to close our eyes. We're all children of God, our loving Heavenly Father who forgives us and welcomes us with open arms. As we remain with our eyes closed, I want to ask you to think about any unforgiveness that you may feel. Unforgiveness towards others, or unforgiveness towards yourself. If you feel that this is something that is an issue for you and you would like the opportunity to respond, then as we stay with our eyes closed, I want to invite you to stand, to offer up those feelings to God, to start that process of forgiveness and healing, to break down those barriers that impact our relationship with ourselves, with others, and with God. We will pause and give people an opportunity to think and stand if they would like to. Father God, we pray for your Spirit to fall on this place. We pray that you strengthen the people here. Give them courage to take a stand if that's something that deep down they feel they need to.